You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by purchasing a cell phone case from Crossway, crossweh.com/LPR. You'll find cell phone cases for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Luther's Seal with the Reformation Solas. crossweh.com/LPR. A percentage of your purchase will support Issues Etc. crossweh.com/LPR.
The thing that unites them as Christian nationalists is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
When the devil comes knocking on the door, I need to be able to turn and say, Lord Jesus, would you mind answering that? Let him confront the devil.
I think the more casual services take us away from that certainty into the experiential realm. And when you live by the experience, you die by the experience. When you live by the feelings, you die by the feelings. And it's a dangerous spiritual place to put people.
The Bible is not a bunch of fortune cookies. It's this grand tapestry with dozens and dozens of beautifully interwoven storylines that we weave together to present Christ to us and Christ for us.
East Tennessee backpackers love listening to Issues Etc. while hiking through the world that our God has made and joining with David in the 8th Psalm by proclaiming in all the earth, O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name.
It's a parent's worst nightmare. The state comes and removes your child from your home. Why? Abuse? No. You're an incompetent parent? No. What? Well, you refuse to acknowledge your child's new pronouns and their new preferred name. That's a story that would not have been told 20 years ago because it was virtually unheard of, much less the state, in this case, Indiana, stepping in and removing the child to a, quote, gender-affirming family. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the lack of media coverage of children, parental rights, and transgenderism with Terry Mattingly of the On Religion column. We're going to spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker, host of Law and Gospel, teaching a Sunday school lesson. John the Baptist points to Jesus in Matthew 3 and John chapter 1. And then Dr. Arthur Just continues our series on classical Christian worship. Terry Mattingly, senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the national On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate, and for 2 decades he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So why aren't the legacy media covering the state of Indiana removing a child from their parents' custody because they refused to affirm their child's gender identity?
Well, I would say that, A, it doesn't fit a narrative that they want. They also know that covering this story would be very, very offensive to their readers. And I'm talking here about mainstream media. This is another case, like so many we've discussed here, in which a story is automatically designated as a religious media and even a right-wing media story, but not one that's worth coverage by the mainstream press. And increasingly, this is happening as our nation is dividing itself into two different media cultures with people living in their concrete silos where they don't have any information. While I was reading this one and reading some of, sure enough, the religious and right-wing media coverage of the story, the image that popped into my head was The Truman Show. That famous movie where you have the character who is taken at birth and put on an island in a big dome where he never knows that there is a world outside of this or a world that he can get to. And he lives his whole life without knowing the actual facts about his own life and the reality in which he's living. To some degree, we are kind of as a nation where we have large numbers of people, millions of people, who knows if it's a majority of Americans that are now living in two competing versions of the Truman Show, in which they basically hear only what their side wants them to hear. And that's that.
The news coverage that has been aimed at this particular story notes, and some of it actually comes from the Catholic press, that the parents in this case are Catholic, and that they have refused to use pronouns in the new chosen name of their transgender child because of their Christian conviction.
But there's also other complicating factors here, and it's some of the complicating factors that make it, frankly, in my opinion, more newsworthy. If you flash back to previous conversations we've had on this topic, you'll remember that doctors have, for several decades now, doctors who trailblazed the field of transsexual surgery, care, etc., they used to say that what you do first is you treat the patient's mental health as a whole. And in staggering percentages of cases for gender dysphoria today, you have patients who are either on the spectrum for autism. Have I heard a figure that like 40% of those in transition are on the autism spectrum? They're suffering from clinical level anxiety and depression. In this particular case, the parents said, our son has an eating disorder and other psychological issues related to that. We would like to treat his existing mental health issues and see what the outcome is. But the young son wanted to go ahead and proceed, and the state backed him and took him away from his parents because they were afraid, of course, that their rejection of his new true identity would depress him further, et cetera, et cetera. They put him in a gender-affirming home. I've been reading several of the accounts, and I can't find out if actual medical intervention has begun in the way of puberty blockers, hormones, and let alone even permanent surgery. So we don't know a lot of those questions because, once again, this isn't an issue worth covering for the readers and listeners of our most elite and powerful media. I do think it's interesting that the state investigated this. This has been going on now for about 2 years, 2 or 3 years. The state investigated and ruled that these parents were fitting parents. They were not cruel, abusive, nothing that was going on that would normally cause a child to be removed. Just the issue of not supporting the child's chosen new gender identity. And, of course, as I stated, the parent's desire to treat the child's existing mental health issues to see if that helped clarify the matter. It's an amazing case, and I could give you a couple of reasons for why I think the press should be covering this. Listeners, think for a second. How many headlines are you seeing right now that pivot on parental rights cases, whether we're dealing with cases involving school curriculum, schools hiding new pronouns and new names of children from their parents, and a host of other things that have been alleged and in some cases have been proven? Are any of those in the news? Well, of course they are when they're dragged into the headlines by public events. I would also notice that this case is being handled now by the Beckett Fund, which has a very high success rate at pushing this sort of case through courts. I think you've got a distinct possibility that this could be a parental rights case that goes all the way to the Supreme Court. Is that newsworthy? I would then ask, if you look at the polls, is America divided on whether or not interventions for gender-affirming care with children, with minors, is the public divided on whether that's appropriate? And we see this once again in public education and a host of other issues. Is the public divided on it? The polls show that the public is starkly divided on this issue, radically divided. Now, back before the cooling of the Earth's crust, when I was in a mainstream newsroom, the more divided people were and the more they were arguing about something, it used to be true that that was something that made a story newsworthy, not turned it into a story that was too hot to cover. Another reason, are the parents in effect saying that their parental rights are in some way linked to their religious liberty and their ability to practice their faith under the roof of their own house with their own child? That sounds pretty newsworthy to me. And finally, in this list, a topic we've brought up before, are these journalists looking at what's happening in Europe, where we have some of the most culturally liberal and progressive nations on planet Earth kind of slowing down the shifting of gears on speeding up of this, and in some cases even retreating into safety, as we saw in England where the closing of the major hospital that handles minor cases for gender-affirming care and transition, that hospital has been shut down, which brings us to another very newsworthy topic that elite press should be investigating. Are lawyers starting to collect the cases of detransitioners into files preparing for a class action lawsuit or multiple class action lawsuits against some of these institutions? That sounds pretty newsworthy to me. So once again, is this a story? Of course it's a story. Is this a story that's going to anger the, should we say, remaining paying customers of many elite publications? Okay, that's true. Why isn't it being covered?
Just your journalistic instinct here. When the first of those, and there will have to be high-profile class action suits, are finally filed against gender transition clinics or maybe even the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, when those are, can the legacy media, can the allegedly brightest lights in the media, can they avoid that story any longer?
It depends on whether something happens that they simply can't ignore. So let's flash forward a couple of months. Let's say that we find out that such a case is being prepared. And let's say that a miracle occurs and President Joe Biden, if he's still the Democratic nominee at that point, he agrees to debate former President Donald Trump. And in that debate, Trump turns to him and says, X number of parents in the United States have now prepared a class action lawsuit on this issue. Are you at least willing to join me today in calling for a ceasefire on this, to where we're going to guarantee that no parents are going to lose their children over this issue? Would you back me in that? Well, if Orange Man Bad, as the media might refer to him, if he puts it on the record and the elite press decides to cover the debate, which I assume they would, something like that is going to put it on the table in a way that makes it uncoverable, which once again just teaches us one of the major laws of these podcasts. Politics is real. Religion, religious liberty, even the First Amendment, not so real. That's just a reality.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the lack of media coverage of children, parental rights, and transgenderism. We will talk about that organization for transgender health on the other side of the break. Also, the lack of media coverage of members of a trans medical organization privately voicing concerns about the risks of child transition.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by purchasing a cell phone case from Crossway. crossweh.com/LPR. You'll find cell phone cases for issues, etc., Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Luther's Seal with the Reformation Solas. crossweh.com/LPR. A percentage of your purchase will support issues, etc. crossweh.com/LPR.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry cares for pregnant women sharing the love of Christ. Listen to Pastor Ed DeWitt with Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries.
One of the first residents we had said to me, "Pastor, why do you do this?" And I said, "Just stick with me through this class, and when we're done, you'll understand completely." Many of the women, as they go through the instruction, when we get to that part about baptism, they're like, "Pastor, I want that for my baby. I want my baby to be adopted into God's family."
God's mission here, lcms.org/national mission.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A number of people have asked about Ad Crucem's process to order our faux stained glass window clings. It's easy. Email us with your window's dimensions, the images you require, and the style you like, and we will quote to design, print, and ship your window clings to you. We recommend having them professionally installed. If you wish to purchase a sample, we have a gorgeous small Luther Rose cling available on the website. Pop on over to adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
At Memoria Press, the Simply Classical curriculum is specifically designed for students with significant learning challenges. This complete program includes everything you need for a school, self-contained classroom, tutoring, or homeschool to make a classical Christian education accessible for any child. To learn more, visit us at simplyclassical.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Simply Classical, a beautiful education for any child.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilken. We're talking about the lack of media coverage of children, parental rights, and transgenderism. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi and author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate. So, Terry, let's talk about something that Rod Dreher has called a massive scandal, and that's this organization, the World Professional Association for Transgendered Health. What is this organization? And why, when I Google news on this, I can see Catholic organizations covering it. Yeah. I can see the Washington Post covering it and maybe News Nation, but they're all generally more considered right-wing news organizations. Very little, if anything, from the mainstream.
The name of the organization, WPATH, the Environmental Progress Group, has obtained some leaked information from WPATH, which is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. In other words, this is the organization that is like writing up the rules and the protocols for medical professionals who are involved in this issue. It bills itself as a nonprofit, interdisciplinary professional and educational organization devoted to transgender health. And it's been advocating direct intervention in the form of hormones, puberty blockers, surgery, etc. And its guide, Standards of Care for the Health of Transgender and Gender Diverse People, one story from a Catholic publication notes it's in the 8th edition, is used around the world to set up the guidelines for this kind of care. Now, it's not so much a scientific group as a lobbying an educational organization that includes scientists. But CNN is quoted in this National Catholic Register piece as referring to it, this guide that it produces is, quote, the world's leading medical associations and courts of law, unquote, guide. In other words, if you're looking for who's steering this boat on this issue, this is it. So anything that involves WPATH is critical. So what we have in this case is someone somehow has leaked transcripts of internal conversations / emails / group texts, etc., where members of this organization talk openly about their views of transgender care of minors and others.
And how do you explain, because this is an extremely influential organization that would ordinarily pop right to the top of the headlines, why silence on this from so many?
Well, because you have to trust another organization to have obtained real documents. Do you think the leaders of WPATH are confirming these texts? So under a best case scenario, we have mainstream, powerful media wanting to check this out. At the same time, you have to ask, are the editors of these newspapers and producers of these shows being screamed at by their sources in this organization saying, don't cover this? And at this point, you get into matters of journalism logic. Why aren't they covering it? Well, once again, the journalism argument here is that if we cover these documents, we have to admit they're real. And if we admit they're real and we need to quote people who are upset about it and people who want to argue about it and dispute what's happening in these documents, here's the word. That means we're going to platform. We're going to allow our powerful platforms. And when you're dealing with the New York Times and NPR, the Washington Post, et cetera, the Associated Press now comes into play. You're talking about the most powerful media platforms in world news. I think the BBC would be more likely to do a story about this now than, say, National Public Radio. We don't want to platform the views and concerns of people who are bigots or, at the very least, in our opinion, spouting misinformation. There's that big term. It's becoming more and more important. Misinformation. And so you say, well, we called WPATH and we asked them to verify the accuracy of these transcripts, and they refused to do so. Now, are the allies of WPATH going to be willing at that point to publish information that they have not had verified by the organization itself? Do you think they're going to cover it? Of course they're not. If you think they're going to cover it and anger their sources, they're not going to cover it until, here we go again, something happens that makes it impossible not to cover. And what would that be? I assume it would be, I don't know, something really important, like a stand-up comedian in late-night television mentioning it. Or, who knows, Donald Trump again? I mean, once again, it has to be something in a part of the world that our media believes is more serious and real than the concerns of critics of gender-affirming care. Because the critics of gender-affirming care are religious crazies, religious people, and right-wingers, including, of course, large portions of the gay and lesbian community who are also concerned about this issue. When you're in a world when J.K. Rowling and Martina Navratilova have become right-wing bigots, you know we're in the Truman Show. We're in an upside-down world.
I guess I just have to ask generally, Terry, with about a minute or so here, what has happened to the enthusiasm that individual journalists used to have for just telling the story or getting to the story first or tracking it down, and that kind of enthusiasm that they had for telling the story? It seems to have been completely squashed by what you've mentioned here, the narrative.
Well, it's not just the narrative. It's the business model. This is back to the essay I wrote months ago for the Acton Institute's Religion and Liberty. We're talking about a change in the business model, where instead of trying to get as large an audience as possible with the general public, which would mean both Americas, people living in both of the competing Truman shows, instead of doing that, you want to please your paying customers who have subscribed to your newspaper. And what was that number we ran into the other day in the story from inside the New York Times, where the marketing department of the New York Times had determined that 95% of their paying customers considered themselves liberal and progressive on these kinds of issues, or political issues in general, cultural issues too, probably even more so. So it's not just a matter of a journalism change. It's a business model change in how our media operates and how it's structured. It's hard to fight the money.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He is author of the National On Religion column for the Andrews McMeel Universal Syndicate. And for two decades, he led the GetReligion.org website. Terry, thank you very much for your time.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson from Matthew 3 and John chapter 1 with Pastor Tom Baker on John the Baptist pointing to Jesus.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up James with prayer of faith, and then we move back to the Old Testament, to Habakkuk. Intro and prophet's complaint, God's answer, the prophet's second complaint, and the righteous live by faith. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
The way we as Christians view history is going to be different from how non-Christians view history. As a Christian, you already know what history is about, Jesus coming to save you. So wrote Molly Lackey in her inaugural article for Our Great Heritage, a new series at the Lutheran Witness online website on the history of the Lutheran Church and great historical figures in our history. To learn more, visit witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.